This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We've just learned President Biden plans to go to Maui on Monday, where the death toll from the wildfires is up to 106. That number is expected to rise as crews with cadaver dogs continue to search the rubble in Lahaina. Michael Richter is hoping to locate his stepfather.
I just want to identify his body and put him at rest.
Correspondent Lilia Luciano is in nearby Kula.
A few things are expected to happen today. One of those is that the road to Lahaina will finally open up for all transit. It has been closed, and over the last day or so, it's only been open for residents. Another thing that's going to happen is schools will reopen today.
A dozen former prisoners of war in Ukraine have opened up to the BBC about abuse at the hands of Russian prison guards.
They beat us in the kidneys, in the ribs, with hammers and batons. Only devils live and work there.
They say people held captive at the facility in Taganrog were starved and denied medical help. Former President Trump and more of his co-defendants are criticizing Georgia prosecutors who've hit them with racketeering charges. Correspondent Nicole Killian from Atlanta.
With 9 days left to turn themselves in, the Fulton County Sheriff's Office says it expects the 19 indicted defendants, including the former president, to be booked at the Fulton County Jail. Trump's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, who faces 13 counts for allegedly making false statements about the 2020 election, denies any wrongdoing and says he plans to surrender soon.
A new study from the University of Pittsburgh suggests a link between fracking and asthma and lymphoma in children who live nearby. There was a public hearing on the findings.
There's no way to make fracking safe, and it does harm children. So one of the things that I wanted to remark on is your statement that you can't measure the radioactive activity that people are exposed to. You can.
Beware knockoff weight loss drugs online. The Wall Street Journal says it's identified 50 websites selling Ozempic and Mounjaro-like products containing the same active ingredients. Many advertise on Instagram using research-only disclaimers the FDA calls bogus. UK women have defeated Australia to advance to the World Cup soccer final.
I'm Vicky Barker in London. Happy doesn't begin to describe the mood of these fans watching England's 3-1 victory from here in the UK.
Everyone was cheering. We're so proud of them. Everyone said England would be able to beat Australia, and we've proved everyone wrong.
The Lionesses have become the first English soccer team since 1966 to reach a World Cup final.
Dow futures down 54. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and max speed with Indeed. Their hiring solution platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For WCFW and the Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. A lawsuit over an open records request for the Eau Claire Area School District is dismissed after the district completed the request 2 months after it was made. The lawsuit was filed by Wisconsin Institute of Law and Liberty on behalf of a parent in the district that wanted a transcript of an announcement made to orchestra students on June 5th about a teacher's transition from male to female. The district initially denied the request because they were investigating whether the teacher violated school policy and said that staffing was limited in the summer to handle the request. Haymarket Landing in Eau Claire is up for sale as Foxconn attempts to sell multiple Wisconsin properties. The technology company had announced 5 years ago that the downtown location would be the host to an innovation center employing 150 people. The building is near the confluence, and the price tag is $2.7 million. Foxconn said that it is selling the buildings to focus on development in Mount Pleasant in southeastern Wisconsin. And the National Weather Service in the Twin Cities says that there's a chance of severe weather later today across northwestern Wisconsin. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
With one call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin
or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all.
Civic Media,
608-819-8255.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
It's so hot. Wait. Now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on, along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
If you care about animals or crops, you probably care how the weather could impact both.
It's summer in Wisconsin, and the success of your efforts often depends on knowing the forecast. Count on your local Civic Media weather team for all the information you need.
Crops' roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news, because when rain finally falls, it will sit shallow and be absorbed in the top layers of the soil.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
After 9 o'clock, welcome back into the Stu Daniels Show on this Wednesday morning. That's the King, Elvis Presley, and we noted last hour that he passed away on this date, the 16th of August, back in 1977, leaving us a lot of great music, that's for sure. And right now, I got some updated temperatures: 64 degrees in Richland Center, and 66 degrees in Eau Claire. Most areas looking for highs today in the mid to upper 80s. Kind of breezy and windy in some places, most areas as well. The next story I want to get to is a story about education. Just how important is secondary education? Colleges, universities. I would say that a good university system is important to any state that wants to continue growing, thriving, wants to build their economy. And that's one of the reasons why we support the funding of the UW system in Wisconsin. But some states are moving forward with defunding their universities their university systems. And I am hoping that it doesn't come to that here in Wisconsin. There's a sad story coming out of The Nation, thenation.com, about West Virginia. The headline in the story posted today says, "The evisceration of a public university. West Virginia University is being gutted, and it's a preview for what's in store for higher education." Now, personally, I've only been to West Virginia one time. It was back in 1983, but it was at the university, West Virginia University in Morgantown, West Virginia. And you may not be surprised that the reason why I went to Morgantown back in 1983 was for a Grateful Dead concert, but I was impressed by the town. I thought it was a cool place, had a great time, met a lot of nice people. And I said, maybe someday I'll go back to West Virginia. But I haven't been there yet, but there's still time. Hey, let me give you a little bit of the story about what's going on there and hope that it doesn't come to Wisconsin. It says last week, West Virginia University announced a plan to raise, that's R-A-Z-E, raise some of its core programs. The public land-grant university intends to eliminate 9% of its majors. That's 32 programs total. And they're also going to eliminate all of its foreign language programs. Also, 7% of its full-time faculty members. That's 169 people. The departments targeted for these massive cuts count Truman Scholars, Marshall Scholars, Fulbright Scholars, and Rhodes Scholars among their alumni. These cuts were recommended by the consulting firm RPK Group, and there's every reason to believe they're a trial balloon for doing this elsewhere. Anyone who cares about higher education should be alarmed about what this portends for public universities. These changes are the functional equivalent of an atomic bomb at West Virginia University and stand to make it increasingly difficult for the institution to meet its stated mission to create, quote, a diverse and inclusive culture that advances education, healthcare, and prosperity for all by providing access and opportunity, end quote. So why is it doing this? West Virginia University is the largest university in West Virginia. It's labeled an R1 university under the Carnegie classification of institutions of higher education, meaning it is in the top tier of high research activity among U.S. universities. It is the state's only R1 school, and like other land-grant universities, it was created by the Morrill Act in 1862, which allocated land and financial support from the federal government to help reshape education in response to the Industrial Revolution. Land-grant institutions were charged with educating rural students across the country outside of the elite private universities, which were driven by tuition and legacy admissions. Today, like many land-grant universities, West Virginia University sits at the convergence of several cultural and economic tectonic shifts that are working in tandem to radically transform education. Foremost among these shifts is the changing economic climate of higher education. West Virginia University, like many higher education institutions, has been plagued by gross financial mismanagement by administrators and consultants who have funneled money into massive administrative bloat and capital projects at the expense of faculty hires and support for faculty and graduate students. The university is currently facing a $45 million budget gap and is seemingly uninterested in shrinking administrator salaries, creating artificial conditions for austerity. this shift to massive administrative salary costs and, relatedly, software and tech expenditures came about as federal funding of higher education massively slowed, particularly after George W. Bush's cuts in 2007 and 2008. 50 years of cuts to higher education have accounted for losses of between 30 to 50% of funding for some land-grant schools. Facing state austerity and a culture war on public goods, especially public education, state funding for higher education continues to decline, forcing public universities to rely more on private donors who impart new controls on higher education professionals. Meanwhile, higher education has become a major political target for the right. One only needs to look at the takeover of the New College of Florida to name but one example of the Republicans' war on woke to see how academic expertise has come under fire as a political wedge issue in this campaign season, while the Republicans' privatization program, perfected under Ronald Reagan, funnels public money into both tax cuts for the wealthy and various grifts. The book bans, censorship, purges of area studies programs, and targeting of academics at public institutions, particularly in the South, are all calculated to decrease the public's confidence in public education so that it can be dismantled and replaced with private corporations, which lack regulation and oversight. The COVID-19 pandemic has also provided an opportunity to reshape education, including K through 12, and capitalize on shifting technological trends for curriculum delivery. The major toll on educators' health, physical and mental, from the pandemic led academics to quit in droves. At the same time, major layoffs in the tech industry have fueled the expansion of the consultant class who are producing, quote, work products and firms to steer what's left of higher ed's public funding into their own pockets. Is this coming to our state? Let's hope not. Sad news for West Virginia University and the people who rely on that university, and for the people of West Virginia in general, I would say. 9:17, let's take a quick break. It's a short one. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Well, since my baby left me, well, I found a new place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lonely Street, that heartbreak hotel where I'll be. I'll be just a lonely baby. Well, I'm so lonely. I'll be just so lonely. I could die. Although it's always crowded, you still can find some room for broken-hearted lovers to cry there in the gloom. I'll be so, I'll be so lonely, baby. I'll be so lonely. I'll be so lonely, I'll make it die. Now the bellhop's tears keep flowing, and the desk clerk's dressed in black. Well, they've been so long, lonely street, they'll never never look back and think you're so, think you're so lonely, baby. Well, they're so lonely. Well, they're so lonely and they could die. Well, if your baby leaves you, you've got a tale to tell. Well, just take a walk down the street to...
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba...
Please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You've
heard the word a lot lately, but what does it mean to be arraigned? The Department of Justice describes it as the first court appearance for someone facing criminal charges. A judge reads those charges, then the accused enters a plea. At the end of an arraignment, a trial date is set along with bond. And depending on the severity of the charges, the judge can add conditions to take away the defendant's weapons or passport before being released. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
It is going to be windy, warm, and just a little muggy today. We'll get to around 85 this afternoon with wind out of the southwest at 15 to 25, gusting to 35. Now, we are keeping an eye on a chance of thunderstorms late this afternoon into this evening, and a couple of those could be severe, with wind gusts being the main threat. Otherwise, clearing tonight, low of 60. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, cooler, high of 74. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
After 9 o'clock right now, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show on this Wednesday morning. Aretha Franklin on the radio. Yep, she passed away 5 years ago today, August 16th of 2018. Left us a lot of great music, that's for sure. Decades worth of great music. Yeah, welcome back into the program. We've got 72 degrees right now in Amory, 71 degrees up in Hayward. Looking for highs today in the mid to upper 80s. And I want to get to a Trump story here. This is from Rolling Stone. And by the way, if you have an opinion on anything we're discussing today, feel free to call in. I'd like to hear what you have to say. The phone number is 715-388-7155. This headline from Rolling Stone says, Trump's allies scramble for ways to shut down the Georgia probe. Are you surprised by that? Subheadline says, it's a sign of MAGA World's growing angst over the former president's legal woes. And whoa, I am telling you, he's got a lot of legal woes right now. Donald Trump's allies are searching frantically for legal methods to shut down the investigation in Georgia. Another sign of MAGA World's growing angst over Trump's mounting legal troubles, especially in Fulton County. Last year, the former president told members of his inner circle that by retaking the White House, he could close federal investigations into his alleged criminal past, and legal experts generally agree that as president, he'd have the authority to do so. But after Fulton County District Attorney Fonnie Willis charged Trump on Monday with leading an ongoing criminal enterprise, the former president is now facing two local indictments, and that has left his broad network of magnified lawyers, political allies, and longtime conservative activists searching for legal theories that Trump could wield to either shut down these investigations or nullify potential convictions. Three people familiar with the matter tell Rolling Stone. Trump's team has mulled asking the U.S. Supreme Court to intervene to throw out the Georgia case, arguing Willis lacks the authority to charge the former president. Only Congress can prosecute a president for actions taken while in office. So the logic goes, even though Willis's indictment includes actions Trump took after he stepped down. They've considered a similar appeal to the state's Supreme Court. Legal experts say the argument is bunk. This is something I have to say all the time. Your feelings and the law are two different things, says Ken White, a former federal prosecutor. The way that they think this law should be, or the way they feel that it is in a wish-casting way, has nothing to do with what the law is, end quote. But the wish-casting is nonetheless in full effect. Some of these legal strategies were privately described to Trump this summer, two of the sources add. At times, he has appeared rather receptive to the ideas when briefed by political allies or lawyers close to him, and he has sometimes asked for them to look further into these theories, the sources say. Trump's campaign did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Among the plans discussed with Trump this summer was the idea of appealing to the U.S. Supreme Court to intervene in a state-level investigation and shut it down. In their research for this exceedingly novel idea, several lawyers and conservative activists aligned with Trump recently incorporated some ideas reflected in a memo published on Monday by the National Constitutional Law Union, a right-wing nonprofit. The group was founded by John Pierce, a conservative attorney who has represented more January 6th defendants than any other attorney, and boasts MAGA figures such as New York Young Republican Club President Gavin Wax and Laura Loomer on its staff. So, does that surprise you, the fact that Donald Trump's allies and close associates are now looking for a way to get him out of trouble somehow? It'll be interesting to see what happens, right? Hey, if you're on the phone, stick around. I'm going to take a quick break. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
CBS News Brief. We found out last hour President Biden and the First Lady plan to visit fire-ravaged Maui Monday. The death toll has gone up to 106, and the search continues for more victims. Homeowners in Lahaina are being allowed to return temporarily to see what's left. Governor Josh Green.
We're trying to get back to normal so that people's lives can begin to
in some ways, be reconnected to the other side of the island.
Update on former President Trump and some of his 18 co-defendants who have until a week from Friday to turn themselves in on racketeering charges in Georgia. CBS's Nicole Killian from Atlanta.
The Fulton County Sheriff's Office says it expects the 19 indicted defendants, including the former president, to be booked at the Fulton County Jail.
Wall Street Journal says it's found at least 50 websites selling knockoff versions of popular weight loss drugs like Ozempic and Wegovy. All contain disclaimers. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WCFW and the Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. A town of Washington man is charged with homicide and is accused of beating his wife to death with a wine bottle in an apparent murder-suicide attempt. 81-year-old John Berthold told investigators that he tried to kill his wife and then attempted to end his own life on July 13th and that they had been considering a divorce, according to court documents. Eau Claire County officials said that his wife, Diane Berthold, was found dead at the scene at the couple's home. Bond was set at $2 million and the man will appear in court next month. Haymarket Landing in Eau Claire is up for sale as Foxconn attempts to sell multiple Wisconsin properties. The technology company had announced 5 years ago that the downtown location would be the host to an innovation center employing 150 people. The building is near the confluence and the price tag is $2.7 million. Foxconn said that it is selling the buildings to focus on development in Mount Pleasant in southeastern Wisconsin. And the National Weather Service in the Twin Cities says that there's a chance of severe weather later today across northwestern Wisconsin. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
At Grainger, we're for the ones who pay attention to every little detail. The ones who fuss, tinker, and sweat the small stuff. Because you know the tiniest thing can make the biggest difference when it comes to keeping business moving. We get it. We're the same way. Offering access to product experts to help you quickly and easily find what you need. So whatever your industry, you know you're always getting professional-grade products. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that some of what we do in government always is political. It has policy impacts. It has political impacts. But if your raison d'etre and your organizing principle is that my guy wins and your guy loses, the entire country suffers. That is not our call to serve. That is not what we raise our hand and say an oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM Radio stays in your car, because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Preacher man, oh, tell me, heaven is under the earth. I know you don't know what life is really worth. Is it all that Peter is going?
Stand up for
Give Up the Fight, Get Up, Stand Up. Bob Marley on a Wednesday morning, 9:34 and a half. And you're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show. We have 68 degrees in La Crosse. It's 67 degrees in Richland Center. And if you want to join us on the phone, if you have an opinion on anything we're discussing today, feel free to call in. The phone number is 715-388-7155. And what segment before last, or was it last segment? Yeah, segment before last, we were discussing that story from West Virginia about West Virginia University. The fact that the school is being gutted, according to the story we read from The Nation. And I understand, Aaron, that we have a caller on the line that has some kind of connection to this story. Is that right?
Yeah, we have Mark Bauerlein, who is a member of the Board of Trustees of one of the universities in Florida, if I recall from what he said.
Well, let's bring him on and see what he has to say. Yeah, this is Mark. And I think you mentioned that he just happened to be traveling through Wisconsin and heard the radio show. Mark, can you hear me right now?
I can, yes.
All right. Well, welcome into the Stu Daniels Show. And what do you have to say? By the way, tell us your connection to that story that we were talking about.
Well, in your discussion of what's going on in West Virginia, you read something that mentioned what's happening at New College of Florida. And right. I'm one of the trustees who was appointed by Governor Sands to the board. And so I was just going to offer, if you wanted to ask me any questions about what's going on and why, I can actually comment upon the West Virginia story as well. I'm an academic, and I've been involved in these things for a long time.
Well, that sounds great. I appreciate you calling in. Now, I've heard stories about what's going on down at the New College in Florida. What can you tell us about what's going on there? The fact that this was a well-respected liberal arts college in Sarasota, and now evidently the governor of Florida has changed the way things are done there. What can you tell us about what's going on there?
Well, the first fact about New College is that it has been for several years a struggling, failing institution. It was almost closed down by the legislature a few years ago. It only survived by one vote. And the reasons were just the mismanagement, the inability to recruit students, the facilities. If you look at the enrollment there, it's been 650 students. This is a public college in a state with 20 million people, remarkable costs relative to other liberal arts colleges, and a wonderful faculty-student ratio. Why in the world does this campus not have 2,500 students, which would be the size of Williams College or Amherst, a lot of the liberal arts colleges that New College would like to compare itself to? Why isn't it getting 20,000 applications a year? Why don't we have a high yield rate on that? And the faculty actually offer a very unique pedagogy. It's sort of the Oxford model, where you get tremendous faculty attention, and the faculty are pretty demanding of students. They work them hard, and you get a lot of individualized instruction. So but if you walk around campus a year ago, you would see crumbling facilities. You would see dormitories in disrepair. The grounds look kind of seedy. And again, you just don't see a lot of student activity. There just aren't a lot of kids there. So this is really the first fact to bring up about New College. This place was dying. It's been limping along from year to year. So if New College were a popular, thriving institution that was getting massive applications, then I don't think there would be any justification to come in with a whole new board and try to change the way things done. So that's the first thing I would say. But I'll let you comment if you want to jump in.
Well, I appreciate you giving us some background on that. I personally don't have a whole lot of information about the New College of Florida, other than I understand that it's a school that has a high percentage of students receiving a Fulbright scholarship. In fact, according to some notes I'm looking at here, cited as having the highest percentage of students receiving a Fulbright scholarship. Now, if a school has 650 students or 25,000 students, does that matter to the students who are there taking classes and trying to make a better future for themselves?
Well, I think that what we want is to have 2,000 students doing that, not 650, especially when you consider this is a public college within the system. So you're going to have a lot of administrative support that is necessary for these students, simply as a matter of offering a proper return on investment. And we're talking about kids who would leave New College and do exactly what you said. We don't want a high percentage of them. We want absolute numbers to go up. I mean, one thing to say about West Virginia is you're talking about the closure of foreign language departments. Now, I'm a humanities professor, was for 30 years at Emory University. I just recently retired and been writing about foreign language departments. Do you know that all foreign languages combined in the United States make up less than 1% of all the four-year degrees offered? Hardly anybody majors in a foreign language. Now, I think a year of foreign language should be required in every general ed requirement. That is what would boost the popularity of those majors if freshmen had to be involved in them. But foreign language requirements, they've largely disappeared in the general ed requirements. And the faculty were the ones who did that. We simply had people much more interested in culture without getting that language base taken care of. So I see the problem here is if you had a lot of kids who wanted to major in French and Spanish and Chinese, West Virginia couldn't close those departments. They couldn't do it. It is undergraduate demand that is going to steer a lot of these adjustments. And just to let you know, more than 600 foreign language programs, departments, and centers have been closed in the last few years. More than 600.
All right. So, what's your viewpoint? What's your suggestion as to what a place like West Virginia University should do at this point? Is it more funding or less funding? A change in? Go ahead.
You know, Mr. Daniels, what you mentioned in there about the administrative bloat. The administration now sucks up so much money. So much money never reaches the faculty or the classroom. If you look at the way administration has changed in the last 30 years, it's the standard tendency of bureaucracies to grow. They build themselves. They hire more people to do bureaucratic jobs. And so the administrative bloat, it'd be nice if the legislature in West Virginia and many other states would lay out a regulation on how big an administrative unit can be relative to student size. I mean, at Stanford now it's 1-to-1. You got one administrator for every student. And this is true of all the big elite schools. There's some, it's all about services, facilities, reporting requirements, extracurriculars, and that's just pulling money away from the actual teaching. So I part of what you said, what you were quoting there, I on the administrative side, I fully believe that, that's a problem. And at public universities, it'd be nice if a legislator came forward and said, this is out of control, and offered some legislation about trying to control, again, the bureaucratic spread. I mean, the spread of bureaucracies, this is how a lot of nations in the historic past, how a lot of empires collapsed.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. I've heard some criticism that the reason why Ron DeSantis went in and put together a new board for the new college is that he was concerned about diversity, equity, and inclusion issues going on at the university. And how do you respond to that?
Oh, I think DEI programs ought to be abolished all across the country in every university in the next hour. That's my position. And I do that for reasons of academics. I think DEI is contrary to academic norms. It corrupts peer review, and it adds a lot of administrative costs to and extracurriculars to the campus. And I can explain all those things if you. I don't want to bore your listeners with academic arguments, but I'm happy to expound.
So you think DEI programs at all universities should be eliminated immediately? That's what you're saying.
Yesterday. Yes, exactly.
We don't have much time left in this segment, but are you saying that diversity doesn't matter at a university? That if a school has an all-white or all-male student body, that that's okay?
Well, I don't think that would ever happen. First of all, there are more. The undergraduate population in America is now 60% and 40% male, and things like the affirmative action case that happened, people talked about that as the return of sort of white dominance. The fact is that at those elite schools where affirmative action programs will be dropped, nearly every space that would have gone to an affirmative action recipient would go to an Asian American, not to a white American. Those are the actual numbers on what would happen in terms of college enrollment. But the thing is, what are the norms? What are the values that you use to conduct an institution of higher education? Equity? Equity is about outcomes. It's not about opportunity. It is about equalizing outcomes. So if I'm doing a peer review study of a manuscript and someone says to me, well, you've got to consider the identity of the author, that right there is a corruption of peer review.
All right, Mark, I appreciate you calling in. Mark Bauerlein on the board of trustees at the New College. We run out of time, brother. I appreciate your call. Thank you for calling in.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars, because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Hey, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
It is going to be windy, warm, and just a little muggy today. We'll get to around 85 this afternoon with wind out of the southwest at 15 to 25, gusting to 35. Now, we are keeping an eye on a chance of thunderstorms late this afternoon into this evening, and a couple of those could be severe, with wind gusts being the main threat. Otherwise, clearing tonight, low of 60. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, cooler, high of 74. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 71.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Your smile so tender, my heart was captured, my soul surrendered. I spent a lifetime waiting for the right time. Now that you're near, the time is here at last.
It's
just like a willow.
All right, everybody, sing along.
We would cry.
Hey, welcome back into the Stu Daniels Show, 9:52 right now. Final segment of the show today. We got 70 degrees in Eau Claire, also 70 degrees in Amory right now. Looking for highs today in the mid to upper 80s. Just a couple of things I want to get to before we wrap things up for the day. You may not have seen the new Donald Trump TV ad, but it's a one-minute ad, and it attacks all of the prosecutors that are going after him. And it does it in a way that, let's say, I would have to say is dangerous, because we've seen that there are some Trump supporters who may not be playing with a full deck that get really worked up when he tells them that there are people out to get him. His supporters, some of them, want to defend him and think that he's not the only one being attacked, that these prosecutors are attacking our country, our democracy, and our way of life. Well, I don't have to tell you that not everything Donald Trump says is true. In fact, most of it is not true. And here I have a story from the rawstory.com talking about this TV ad that I say, and many have said, is dangerous. Trump TV ad attacking Fannie Willis is full of bogus claims, according to a Washington Post fact checker. This was just published a few minutes ago. It says an attack ad aired by Donald Trump's presidential campaign and focused on three prosecutors who have indicted him puts a particular target on Georgia's Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis,
who charged Trump in regards to efforts to overturn the 2020 election's results in the state. But according to the Washington Post fact checker Glenn Kessler, three of the four claims made in the ad fall apart pretty quickly. Among those claims are that murders in Atlanta have increased 60%, citing a local Atlanta Fox News report from June 15th of 2021. But the article, this is a quote, the article is from 2021. That meant it only covered the first 6 months of Willis's tenure as district attorney during a period when crime had spiked nationwide, in part because of the pandemic. That is a misleading metric, writes Kessler, adding that through August 5th, homicides are down by nearly 25%. And she also was accused of hiding a relationship with a gang member that she was prosecuting. And this, here's another quote, this is the most off-the-wall claim, Kessler wrote. As framed, the ad appears to suggest some sort of intimate relationship between Willis and the gang member. That's bad enough, but it also gets a basic fact wrong. She was not prosecuting the gang member in question, but friends of his. Plus, he said, there is no evidence of an intimate relationship. It's just stuff that was made up. The ad also claims that, quote, Willis was accused of creating a fake subpoena, end quote. And according to Kessler, there was such an accusation, though it did not concern Willis, and it was rejected. Okay, so this ad that is being shown quite a bit in Georgia and on many cable outlets across the country is completely wrong. And it's all made up, as most of Trump's claims are. I have another story here from The Independent that says Trump claims a mystery press conference report clears him of the Georgia election charges, which, of course, is not true. Trump has been issued with an arrest warrant. He's supposed to surrender by Friday of next week. And just give you just a little bit of this. Donald Trump has promised to share an irrefutable report on his baseless claims of election fraud in Georgia. Here's a quote from Trump. He says, a large, complex, detailed, but irrefutable report on the presidential election fraud, which took place in Georgia, is almost complete and will be presented by me at a major news conference at 11 a.m. on Monday of next week, Trump said. The former president and 18 of his allies have been indicted on a range of criminal charges relating to the former president's attempts to alter Georgia's 2020 election results. He described the extensive charge sheet produced by a grand jury in Fulton County as an attempt to stop him from running in next year's election, saying that the witch hunt continues. Trump charged with 13 counts, including racketeering, filing false documents, attempting to coerce public officers to violate their oaths. Yeah, can you believe anything that guy says? I don't. Yeah, thanks for tuning in today, everybody. I hope you have a great day, and I hope you'll tune in again tomorrow morning beginning at 8 o'clock. Have a great day. This is my home. This is where I belong. This is my home. This is where I belong. Oh yeah.
Happy 62nd birthday, Granddad.
Thanks, sweetheart.
I got you this.
A mug. Oh, thank you. What does it say? Beware. If you are 60 or older, you may be at increased risk of hospitalization from RSV. respiratory syncytial virus compared to adults younger than 60.
Not all dangers come with warning labels. Talk to your pharmacist or doctor about getting vaccinated against RSV today. Learn more at bewareofrsv.com. Brought to you by Pfizer.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.